If you are into sustainability and cannabis, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Benjamin Douglas Ray, the creator and host of Sustainable Cannabis TV, a daily 30-minute interview show focused on sustainable practices within the cannabis industry. Sustainable Cannabis TV is designed to give listeners in-depth insights, knowledge, and stories of industry professionals who are positive impacting the world and making a difference. This show is brought to you by my line of organic hemp CBD products called 8 Saints Brand. THC-free creams, balms, and tinctures to ease joint pain, reduce anxiety, and help you sleep better. Check them out at 8saintsbrand.com. Hi, it's Benjamin Douglas Ray with another edition of Sustainable Cannabis TV. This episode is brought to you by BuzzFeed, LinkedIn for Leaders Online, and 8 Saints CBD products using Colorado organic hemp. Today I'm here with Brad Levin. He's the VP of Sales for Packaging Trends. Welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing excellent today. You know, we here in Colorado, you know, it's still cold and we got a lot of winds. The wind is blowing tremendously here today, so it makes it even colder, but it's bright and sunny, which really helps out a lot. Where are you today, Brad?
I am in Long Island, New York. Okay. We actually woke up to a blanket of snow this morning as well.
Good. Well, tell the viewers and listeners, you know, what your career path has been, and tell us a bit about Packaging Trends, the company, and what you guys are about.
Sure. So I've been in the packaging world for about 15 years now. You know, started out very basic with your brown box shippers and things along those lines, kind of expanded over the years to retail and display type packaging, primarily in corrugated, but some other things as well, some permanent. And then kind of expanded my substrate base, I guess, got into clear packaging, you know, folding cartons, some rigid packaging as well. Have just kind of grown through that. The way I've kind of positioned my business is that I've made relationships with a lot of manufacturers across the country. So I'm able to, and a large majority of that I have, you know, rep agreements for. So I'm able to, put my customers where they're best suited, based on geography, product, quantities, pricing. So, it gives me a lot of flexibility. I joined Packaging Trends a little over a year ago. And it was, kind of marrying my, you know, direct, relationships with, their business. In essence, kind of a promotional packaging company where we can provide design and kind of take it from start to finish. You know, kind of got started in the pharmaceutical world and have grown, you know, drastically from there. Can pretty much do any type of displays type stuff that you're looking for. Basically, I say that, if, you know, everybody needs a box, anybody that makes something needs a box, and I have access to it. So that's kind of where we are now. I guess the last 2 years or so, I gotten really a lot more involved in the CBD and cannabis world. Everything from just pure packaging to turnkey as well, where I have relationships with manufacturers that can, you know, help formulate, mix, fill, package, and distribute products. Not all products, but, you know, a list of them. And it's really been an interesting kind of journey through that. You find yourself working a lot with newer brands, startups, indies, also indies in the cosmetic world. And I find it very rewarding because you kind of are helping build something and kind of going along for the ride, or, you know, being around long enough. I have some advice to, you know, how to kind of scale to that next level. And it's very interesting. You know, you need your big accounts that can pay the bills, but and afford you to kind of spend some time, you know, working with these newer companies.
How have things changed, you know, from 15 years up to about a year ago, and what's changed now with COVID in terms of how you reach your customers and what you're seeing specifically for packaging trends, since you haven't been there that long, must right. be an adjustment really to move over, and then, you know, then what?
So when I first started, I always say, I was literally walking the streets of Brooklyn, knocking on doors, you know, with manufacturers, and a lot of cold calling, networking. I mean, there were different ways of doing it. We didn't really have LinkedIn, I guess, when we started, or it wasn't prevalent. So it was really, you know, word of mouth or just reaching out to people and knocking on doors. I used to send out a lot of samples to people or drops. I would drive around a lot and drop samples off. You know, as time got on, went on, I will say, since joining Packaging Trends, I think that I've kind of focused on how to network. And I think the key to networking is not always volume, it's efficiency of, you know, doing it smart. So LinkedIn has been a great platform for that. And learning how to do that has been, you know, a learning curve, but you get better and better at it. So, you know, nowadays it's, you know, with COVID and everything, it's, I think what we see now, well, you know, to answer your first question, how have things changed packaging wise? I think the technology has been a driver behind that. You know, where you have, in corrugated specifically, you know, multiple gluers that can glue, you know, multiple pieces together to make one piece. So, it's allowed them to kind of expand their product lines. So, and then the other side of it, I think, is printing. I think the printing capabilities have gotten a lot better, and have, you know, you're seeing a lot more delicate printing, you know, wider based printing, different ways of going about it with embossing and stuff. Not that that wasn't there before. I just think the efficiencies are a lot better now than they used to be.
Have you seen it go to more digital, or is that still offset printing?
So, it really depends. You know, a lot with the space that I'm in now, a lot with these startups and the indie brands, the volumes are low, so digital becomes a better option. You know, and obviously the goal is, when you do that, is to be able to stay with the company, to move them to, you know, offset and you know, larger volumes. But I use that more frequently now than I have in the past, just again, because of who I'm talking to, I think. But you know, I also work with, some plants that have just incredible technology and are always, you know, now the new thing is two-sided printing, you know, in one pass, which is, a huge innovation, I think, and game changing. While it's still more expensive, it's definitely less, because you don't have to take the board out, turn it over, put it back in. You know, it does it all in line. So those are, you know, again, volume always depends what's affordable, but, you know, those are technologies that I think are really kind of game changing for the industry.
So when you are talking about bigger volumes, I assume, you know, it's not just indies that you're talking about or startup, they're more established, bigger companies. And so when you work with these companies, you know, how do you choose or talk to them about their sustainable culture? I mean, is that even something that you address with these larger companies?
I think you have to at this point, whether you really want to or not. I think it's something that you need to talk about. And I think it really changes depending on the size of the company. You know, companies need to decide what they want to be, you know, and they need to kind of set a goal. You know, are you looking to be fully sustainable? Is it step by step? You know, it's very hard to do something all at once, you know, and there's this expectation now, as this movement has picked up speed and momentum, that people should just all of a sudden be sustainable. And I don't think it's a realistic goal. You know, I think it's a lot easier for these newer companies coming in to start that way. You know, the work's already kind of done for them. You know, when you start taking a big corporation, it's like trying to turn the Titanic, you know. It's, so you really kind of have to put a plan in place, I think, and different steps to get there, and, you know, advertise those steps, let people know that you're doing it, but that it's not going to be an overnight, you know, transition. And, you know, again, I think it has to come, some of it is about culture changing, or a lot of it is about culture changing. And you had posed the question the other day, where does that come from?
Right.
In my opinion, I think it comes from the top down, and that, people follow leaders. And if you're the leader and you're going in this direction, people will follow. That said, it also is incumbent upon them to hire people that share that vision. I'm not saying to redo your whole workforce, but as you're bringing more and more people into specific, especially strategic positions, make sure that they share that vision with you. It's a big decision for companies because, that has been present on this podcast a lot is the talk of cost and, mm-hmm. What will people pay for? What won't they pay for? So, it goes from two different standpoints. Like if you have a new company with a new product, if you're sustainable, that's already built into that price. So it's not necessarily competing. It's that brand that you want. So, mm-hmm. Taking a brand that's existing and trying to then make it sustainable and raise that price, that you run into probably a little bit more pushback on versus other brands that are out there.
Think about that. If you're in a company, if the company has not been sustainable, as the leadership doesn't care, then you have people who come up who are hired who say, we really need to do this. So as opposed from the top down, you have champions inside who say, we really need to look at this. This is something that I believe, or we as, a collective inside believe is important. Then the management says, well, we don't care. We don't care. It costs too much. So, what happens then if the leadership doesn't believe in it, but many other people do?
Well, that to me is, that's where I come from, that it has to come from the top down, because it's got to be the decision makers that are making the change. I am sure, and not to generalize at all, but if you look at a larger company, they, some of their workers on different levels may be younger, more in the millennial, age bracket, that these issues are more important to them than the older mm-hmm. generation might be. So, of course they're going to feel that way. So you really need to, I think it starts with the top. Okay. And then it can build from the bottom by the people that you hire coming up behind them. I think it's that turning of a ship, it's where's that level where you have that majority of people in the company that are pushing for it to change it, and going back to the cost perspective of it is, I struggle with this a little bit, but I think that if you're committed to this, and I think that that's where people are going, that there is a cost to it. There's no doubt about it. So there's two ways to do it. I do believe that people will buy, if you raise your prices a bit and it's for the cause that, people are believing, I do believe, especially if they're loyal, they will buy. But I also think it's incumbent upon the companies to absorb some of this, that, if it means taking a little bit small of a margin to accomplish what you're wanting to do, then that's the commitment that you should be making. It's definitely a give and take, and anything time there's change, there's a cost to it. And, it's just how you deal with it.
Here's a comment here from Chris. Sustainability doesn't cost the earth. Doing nothing does, and that I think that's an applicable point. My question or my comment when companies say it costs X amount is I say, yes, but what's the cost of not doing this?
Exactly.
To the company, to the employees, to the earth, to our future, to our children's children, you absolutely have to look at what is the cost of not doing anything.
I couldn't agree more. And I think it becomes, it's a business versus earth, and it's something that I do believe that, with the momentum, I do see this changing. It's going to take a while, but I think you're going to see it, now even bigger companies are making initiatives about it. And I think that's great. And like I said earlier, you can't do everything at once. You can't just snap your finger and say, hey, I'm fully sustainable. So every little bit helps, it's not, yes, it's great if you can be, but just because you can't doesn't mean you're not doing your part, you know. And I also think there's a way to pass it on to the consumers too, not from a cost perspective, but make it easy for them. Make the sustainability, the products easy for them to recycle, or, you know, not have to think about it. Because even if you put out a product that's sustainable or recyclable, it doesn't mean that it's getting there, you know, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be recycled. And that's, you know, I think that's part of the struggle. You have the system of different numbers of what goes where, and I get that whole movement, but for an average homeowner, are they taking the time to separate, you know? And again, this becomes education and it becomes habit forming. And yes, it's a paradigm shift, exactly right. It takes a whole movement. So over time, I think this will become better and better. It's just going to take a little bit to get there. And again, if you, you know, help people make those decisions, they'll do it.
Right. I agree with you. It has to come from the top down, at least right now in existing companies. But we always have to remember that even if you're in a company and it's not going to happen there, and you are a future leader. So it will take some time, but no matter where you sit in the system, doing your part will eventually lead to a sustainable culture.
Exactly. I agree.
The you know, there are a lot of packaging myths out there. You know, you and I have talked a lot about this. And I'd like to hear those from you. What are some of those, and how would you be contrary or bust those myths about packaging?
Well, you know, I think that there's some very bad words being thrown around there about plastic and, you know, other materials like it. And I listen, not everything is sustainable or can be sustainable, but, you know, this generalization of like plastic is bad, I don't buy all that. I think there's a lot of growth and movement in that direction of sustainability from those sectors. Specifically, you know, I work with clear packaging, folding cartons and stuff, and we are, you know, now being able to produce packaging with 100% PCR plastic, which I think is phenomenal. And you know, I always look at it. I know there's a lot of different views on the plastics and recycling, but from a PCR perspective, I kind of look at it as repairing versus preventing.
Can you describe that a little bit more, the PCR then, and really how you feel about that, really the merits versus detriment?
Yeah. So, you know, PCR is basically, I mean, obviously it's not quite as an analogy, it's really kind of taking bottles out of the ocean, if you would, and repurposing them and, you know, grinding them down and making, you know, plastic sheets or whatever you're going to use it for that can be, you know, put into cartons or whatever the usage is. And I look at that as, you know, kind of repairing the environment a bit. You know, you're helping reduce what's already out there. The flip side of it is the recyclable, which is obviously also great. It doesn't get there to begin with. So, you know, those are like the two real things with plastic that, you know, yes, there are plastics that are not good for the environment. There are plastics that you cannot do a lot with. But I'll give you an example. I'm working with a new company now that has, I think, for the cosmetic world and personal care home, the revolutionary technology. It's a tube that is plastic, but you can make it out of 100% PCR material. And, you know, when you have a tube and you get to the end of the tube and you're like pushing and your thumbs are, you know,
yeah.
This has technology that they have a button that is embedded into the tube, and it's an airless tube. So you just press this button and it doses very evenly. You know, you take it off, boom, it stops. You know, there's no like drip or whatever. And what this does is it also eliminates, which is also, I don't know that people spend as much time about on this as maybe we should, but it eliminates waste of product, which also causes recycling problems if there's still a lot of product left in tubes and things like that. So this will eliminate, I don't know, I think it's like 98 or 99% of all the wasted material that's generally left in a tube.
Well, I would guarantee that nobody takes a toothpaste tube and washes it out before
nobody
recycling. Nobody would do that.
Exactly. Right? So this, I mean, I find this just to be, it's a package. There's only so excited you can get about a package, but this, I was really like, wow. I was like, this is kind of game changing. So there are a lot of people out there working on things, and there's, you know, new stuff coming up all the time. It's not just the secondary packaging, it's the primary packaging as well. And there are PCR, you know, bottles out there, there's recyclable bottles. It's, you know, there's just a lot of, misnomers about plastic that people should be aware of. And
I mean, even you saying that, I know we're going to get a lot of comments here. We've had comments on here about plastic is evil and some really healthy debates about that, actually, you know, and I love that when we have varied opinions, because then we learn from one another really what the challenges are and where the innovation can come about over the next 5 to 10 years to be able to solve both
yeah. issues. I think, you know, there's also, you know, we talk about corporations and these companies that are trying to make this move to sustainability and all that. There's also, people go into business to make money, right? I mean, you have a company, you want to make some money, and that's, sales is a very important part of that. And how your product looks on that shelf is paramount to, it's the first thing that they see about your product is the packaging. So there's been studies about clear packaging versus paper packaging, and it's some crazy number. I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but it's something like consumers are more than 250% more likely to buy something in a clear package than a paper package if they're next to each other. And there was a camera, and they were tracking people's eyes, and they just keep going back to the plastic. Because it's clear.
Is that you mean clear plastic? So you can
see clear.
Versus not.
Yes, I'm sorry, clear packaging. Yes.
Okay.
So they can actually, you know, being able to see the product, and from a branding perspective, the art just really pops off of plastic a lot differently than it does off of paper. There are things here that, you know, also contribute to companies' decisions. And now with this new technology, with PCR and some other things, you're able to still accomplish that and still, you know, be a sustainable product or company. So it's not always if then, or, you know, having to choose between two things.
It's never that. We were talking yesterday about, it's great. It really is. And it's going to take a time. I mean, you can't just be sustainable or not sustainable. They're varying degrees, and every company just needs to continue to get a little bit better every day, continue to invest in themselves and new technologies, new innovation, to tell the public what they're doing. That's what's important right now. I don't know of any company that's 100% well, there are a couple that are 100% sustainable, but it's not the majority, and it will take time, but it is coming for sure.
I mean, even like smaller steps, like manufacturing plants going to solar power, you know, like there's a step, you know, it's one thing that you can do, from a manufacturing, you know, perspective, getting your paper from mills that are, you know, certified, you know, for recyclability, you know, all those things they're just little things that add up. And if everybody does a little bit, then, you know, this world becomes a better place.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yep.
Pick up that one piece of trash, right?
Yep.
Recycle that, wash and recycle that one piece of plastic, really.
Exactly.
A little bit goes a long way. Well, I'd like to ask you about sustainable packaging options. You know, you've talked a lot about corrugated and advancements there. What are some options and developments that have come online the past couple of years in terms of sustainable packaging?
So it's, like we've been saying, there's a lot of different ways of being sustainable. So one of those is not just about the material. So some of it is about waste and minimizing the amount of material that you're using. And that can come in a couple of different factors. So I thought one of the best developments I've seen over the last, you know, few years, and this product has actually been out there for a little while, and I think it was made initially not necessarily for sustainability, but it turned out that it's really kind of a perfect sustainable option. So I talk about this all the time. We have display trays that you'll see on the shelf, you know, that will hold, you know, 12 or 10 or whatever cans or bottles or whatever the product is. Mm-hmm. When you're packing that out, typically you're putting the product into the tray, taking that tray, putting it into a box, you know, sealing the box, and it ships out that way. It gets to the store, they open the box, they just toss that, and they put the shelf on the tray on the shelf. So there's, you know, technology now where you can make these all in one piece. You know, there's a the plant that I work with, McLean Packaging, they do great work at this. It's they call it the Traymatic, and basically it's that whole system is one piece now. So what it is, you have the tray, and the shipper is now really a hood that is part of the initial blank, and you just pop it open, and the whole thing pops up, the tray and the hood. The hood covers it, tape it up, tape it around the side, and you send it to, you know, send it out. It gets to the store. There's a tear strip to take the tape off the bottom, and there's a tear strip on top where the hood is attached to the tray. So that comes off. It's a very clean tear, and you just put the tray on the shelf. So what this does is it eliminates, definitely eliminates material, because you're not taking a whole shipping container and RSC to put the tray in, but it also eliminates assembly. You know, the box may be more expensive, but it's going to cut your assembly time down considerably to do this. Like, you pretty much are eliminating a person from the assembly line. So, you know, all of those things add up to a pretty sustainable product, you know? I just think it's a great concept, and everybody should be using it, I think, because, you know, there's so many trays out there, and yes, it does cost a little bit more to put the tear strip on, but at the end of the day, you will actually, in total cost, it's a total cost savings. It's not,
if you're reducing labor.
Yeah.
A lot of companies would say, like, yeah, but that package costs more.
Right.
You can eliminate, or
you have to look past that.
You know, reallocate the worker to another place.
Right.
Then you're actually making money.
And
it's not just costing you.
I think that's an important point there, that, you know, for all businesses, it's not always just about the item. It's a total cost perspective around that item. And if you cut a piece off of here, then there, you know, there's some savings, you know. So it is, you know, those are type of things, and, you know, from corrugated, that I think are amazing, you know. And that type of design now is being done in displays also, say floor stands or end caps, I should say, where it's one piece and it comes in shipping perfectly flat. So you're saving on shipping. And you just pop it open and, you know, kind of tuck the shelves in, and there's your end cap. So again, it's one piece, your assembly is very easy, you're eliminating people from the pack out line. So, you know, those are types of things that, you know, in the corrugated world, that I think are just, you know, more people should be trying to invest in this technology. I just think it's more efficient. So, you know, I think the other thing that people need to think about is printing. And, you know, it's as important as anything is out there, in terms of getting your brand out there, and for, you know, that's what people see again, you know, when they encounter your product. So, but there are ways of being sustainable around that, you know, based on, you know, agro or soy-based inks, you know, things like that. And you need to, you know, I'm a fan of the foil. I think it looks great on stuff, but a lot of times that can make the package non-recyclable, you know. So that's something that, you know, you need to consider. Granted, it's a great look, you know, nobody, you know, but if that's the choice that you're making, what direction to go in, then, you know, that's one thing that you can, you know, get away from. Mm-hmm. And that goes down to even your printing plates, like the solutions that you use to clean those. Make that, you know, agro-based or bio-based, and, you know, it's eliminating chemicals from the earth. So those are, you know, that, like I said at the beginning of this, there's so many things that you can do that you know, may not even have to affect your packaging necessarily, but it's just little things here and there that's going to add up and make this better for everybody.
Great. That's great. Well, Brad, I want to thank you for being on the show. I would like you to tell people how to get a hold of you and what the URL is of your company.
Sure. So you can obviously reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's, you know, under my name, Brad Levin. My company is, our website is packagingtrendswithanS.com. Feel free to reach out to me. You can send me an email. My email address is blevin@packagingtrends.com. I am, in sales, but am not, I also like, talking to more, the more people I can talk to, the more people we can get this message out to. And, I can help guide people and, you put out what you get back and, whatever help I could be to people, whether it's starting up or helping to make changes and, business comes from that, great, but that's not always the end goal sometimes. So feel free to reach out. I'm always happy to talk.
That's great. Well, I appreciate your time. And I want to say to all you viewers and listeners out there, we've got a lot of great comments, and Brad and I will address all your comments right here after the show in terms of questions and comments. So I thank you for your participation, and we will get back to you. And Brad, I thank you again for your time.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. See you later.
Take care.